The obvious is Katoa, but to me, this is the one that actually could have the biggest ripple effect for the Panthers.
Yeah, unfortunately, tell your missus you can't take her out Saturday night because you do not want to miss this game.
Oh, I love it. She'll do what she's told.
I don't think so.
Well, Steve, we've talked a heap about who's going to make the eight, but let's really nail the top four, because history shows that's where the premiership winner comes from. So we'll talk about that today. What else have we got?
Mate, we talk around the Dally M's and who we're going to think's going to come home like a train to win that. And there's some big inclusions in Team List Tuesday, some absolute guns coming back from injury. So we're going to have a quick chat about that as well, mate.
Absolutely. And, of course, we'll celebrate what we nailed last week in our predictions, because we got a heap right. And we'll give the punters something to take home for our predictions for this week as well. All right, let's get into it. Yeah, so the top four. We talked on Monday about maybe a couple of them are going backwards, and we talked about maybe a couple of the top four on the charge, but is that really how it's going to play out? I know the people on socials definitely had differing opinions to ours. There was plenty of Panthers fans saying they'll be right, and there was plenty of Roosters fans, funnily enough, putting shit on them. That was a strange one.
Yeah, the Roosters fans weren't real confident in their own team. That was some really good reading, actually. I quite enjoyed that. You don't Roosters fans traditionally are pretty upbeat about their chances, pretty positive. So it was good to see them put shit on themselves.
Yeah, they were getting rid of their coach. They were making fun of how it's all right. They'll pay off the referees and all sorts. It was good. Good gear. So let's go through the four of them. It's only a month or two ago where most people had them as a lock, and there weren't too many teams who were going to stand in the road. But the Panthers have come off the boil. Like, we had them as the upset last week, and there was a bit tongue-in-cheek from you, but like, the Eels went a lot closer than most thought. They aren't at their peak, but they also, as we had pointed out to us by some of the Penrith fans, we've got guys coming back from injury or only been back for a short time. I don't think that's fair when you talk about Liam Martin, considering what he did in Origin. Like, he's game ready. They have dropped Blaise Talangi after his defensive lapses, and Jack Cogger comes in. We have talked, or you in particular, have been big on this about Mitch Kenny coming back and what a difference that'll make. I actually thought that Lussick had a really good game for them last Thursday. Plenty of times when we had him pinned in their own end, he came up with a good run from dummy half on the fourth or the fifth that just got him to a point of making saving a pretty bad set. But Mitch Kenny's obviously next level.
He is, mate. Yeah, there's no doubt Lussick's held his own. He's been a good backup for him while Kenny's been out. But Kenny is class. I think he would have been very, very close to getting an Origin start this season with the Blues, truth be told. The way he come out of the blocks, he's still to be confirmed. The Panthers still haven't put an expected date on his return. So he is one that they're going to sorely miss until he's back. It's as simple as that. And one that I think will give them instant results. That the speed of the defensive line we've seen the last couple of weeks hasn't been great, and that's his bread and butter, right? That's what he's there for. Look, for mine, the Panthers are an absolute lock for the top four. I think you'll start to see them, come back to the form that you saw before Origin. But these next 3 weeks are a huge show. They've got the Raiders this week into the Warriors in New Zealand, which will be an absolute belter. And then they come back and play a Thursday night game against the Roosters. So three really interesting games to see where they're at. You know, I would argue the Raiders are damn near the form team in the comp at the moment, at least in the top couple. And then the Warriors and the Roosters will have these games circled in the calendar, mate. So while I certainly think you're going to see a different Panthers, you know, there was talk even on some of our social media posts around the training load that the Panthers and potentially the Warriors could have been going through. That points to something that could certainly be the case. But I think these next 3 weeks will be really interesting to see where they are. Then they'll have a couple of weeks just to freshen up before the semi-final. So I think they're a lock. I still have them as strong favourites to win the comp. But, this Origin period just slowed them down a smidge.
Their best is still better than any team in the comp.
100%.
And there's no reason why they can't get back to that. The other thing with Mitch Kenny, he is just hard as a rock. And the damage he does in there, I think, is probably underestimated for a little man. But their ruck defense is almost impenetrable when he's there running the show. So he will make a difference. But as you said, it's still unknown when he'll be back, if he'll be back. He sounded pretty confident last time I heard him speak. But until he is, we just won't know.
Yeah.
So the Roosters have just to use a phrase the youngsters are using nonchalantly tiptoed into second place without really setting the world on fire. Are they just one game away from clicking?
Yeah, it very much could be, mate. To your point earlier, even their own fans aren't really that impressed or that convinced of their performances themselves. So I think they're just getting better and better each time. And I think they went through that origin period. Let's just get through, just win our games. And all of a sudden, they won the last four on the trot and look like they're in a really good position. I don't think they would have expected to hop into second spot. Now, whether they can hold that, their draw's a little bit easier than the Panthers with what they've got coming up. They've got games against the Tigers, South and Dolphins, who are on the fringe of the four. So it's still some challenging games, but a little bit easier. So I'm expecting them to be, again, thereabouts. Certainly, I think the top four won't change as we go through the four of them. I think they're a lock. I think it's just different pecking orders. Mm-hmm. But as far as big game players go, the Roosters have an absolute star-studded side that have been there, done that. Whether it's international football, whether it's origin football, some really big experience. And even having Walker play a full origin series this year, that'll just, if they can freshen him up mentally, that'll just pay off huge dividends at the back end of the year when, the stadiums are full and it's the pressure cooker of semi-final footy. So I'm still expecting big things. I called the Roosters a little while back. Their middle run was really pretty easy through Origin, and we thought they'd go on a run like they did. So I'm still pretty high on the Roosters, and I think they're going to go very, very close to being there on grand final day.
Yeah, and the fact that their draw is not super tough running in says even more about where they are on the table because they've had to play a lot of those top eight teams already, particularly the top four teams, and yet they're still sitting in second. And the point you made then, I think, is probably the number one thing that we should look at, is that they've got the big name players. And if the refereeing gets even more tight, where it's tougher and a closer game, well, then they've just got game breakers all over the park. They've got the calm of DC to slot field goals. You've got moments of magic from Sam Walker, who can just pull something out of nothing. The same with Teddy. You've got those dominant forward pack. You've got Marky Mark doing crazy stuff on the wing. Like I just think they're just that at some point a team is going to pay, and it'll be pretty to watch when it happens.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more, mate. None of the four teams winning the comp this year are going to surprise me, but certainly not the Roosters. To your point, I think the biggest challenge for the Roosters will be getting there. If they can be there on grand final day, they're going to be bloody hard to beat, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Warriors. Now, we've been talking them up all year. We fully expect them to make the top two. They've hit a bit of a road bump. And even though we questioned it on Monday, I think we both expect them to be charging back into contention in the next few weeks, right?
Yeah, 100%, mate. Look, their draws probably even a little bit easier again. They've got the Panthers, as we mentioned earlier, but they've got the Titans, the Broncos, who are already out of action. They've got Manly and the Knights, and the poor old Knights will be doing everything they can to scrape into the eight, but they're pretty well busted at the moment. The big thing for the Warriors is this: getting this home final series for me. It's so important. If they can finish in the top two, especially their last two competition rounds are at home as well. So all of a sudden, they could spend 4 or 5 weeks straight at home before they have to come back in October for grand final day. So I think it was a really big miss on the weekend for them not to knock the Bulldogs over. And admittedly, the Bulldogs had a cracking game. We spoke about that on Monday night. But I think that was a pretty big miss from the Warriors. And I think if it doesn't go their way, they're going to look back at that game as a bit of a turning point. But if they can get into that second spot on the back of having, you know, round 26 and 27 at home, they've never experienced, you know, 4 or 5 weeks straight sleeping in their own beds, training in their own gyms, you know, having their own fans, and the media will go berserk over there. It's you know, rugby league is growing by the second. So it's really important for the Warriors. I'm going to say it, and I know the Warriors fans are going to have me for it. I don't know whether they can win the comp if they're not in first or second. I think it's just going to be a lot bigger challenge. You know, we said last week their away records 5-4. That have to come to Sydney and win at least one plus the grand final. I think it's just going to be too much for them. But if they're in one of those first or second, and first should be out of contention, they're 4 points behind the Panthers. If they can get into second spot, and with that draw, they certainly can do that. Wow, it's going to be a very daunting task for someone to go across the ditch and beat them on their home deck, mate.
Yeah, I still think that even if they don't make the top two, they can still win it because they've just got almost an embarrassment of riches when it comes to their depth. Like even now, Tua Picky goes out, Charles Nicol clogs though. He's just played some of his best football at fullback, just slots in there. Lofi Carn-Pereira and DWZ on the wings. They don't really lose anything there. And now... Luke Metcalf has slid into the 18 jersey, so are they thinking that maybe there might be an option there? What will be interesting is if one of those two in the 6 and the 7, Harris Tavita or Tamari Martin, get injured, whether Metcalf slides straight back in and then retains his spot. Mm. So, yeah, again, like imagine having someone of the quality of Luke Metcalf sitting in 18 and... Yep. Mate, they got Rocco Berry on the reserve, on their like extended reserves, and yeah. And then some of those young guys also there have played a fair bit of first grade. So,
yeah, their reserve grade team that plays in the New South Wales Cup down in Sydney, they're by far and away the most NRL experienced reserve grade team in either New South Wales or Queensland. So they've got a lot of depth across the board. And then to your point, a lot of these guys are young as well. So, yeah, look, cannot cross any one of these four out. I just think them being in the top two is going to have a huge advantage compared to being third or fourth. But, yeah, cross them out at your own peril, mate.
Absolutely. Because the other thing that we haven't talked about but we have mentioned before on the pod is the community that Webster has built over there. He's connected them to what the Warriors are all about. It's one of the first things he did. He went in and found out as much as he could. And they just seem a really happy and united team. And when it comes to the toughest games, they are the teams that get the job done. We've only got to look at the Panthers and what Cleary's created there in terms of that side of things as well. Now, you said any of these top four can win it. As you know, I've been naysaying the Sharks all year. The run that they've put together, I'm a convert. Now, I am happy to be proven that I drank the Kool-Aid and got it wrong, but I think they are now a genuine chance. The form of Nicho Hynes, we haven't talked about that, but he's just quietly headed back into some of his absolute best form. The forward pack is dominant. I think Adam Fanua Blake's run in Origin, particularly Game 3 when he was immense, would have built his confidence. Nikuru the same. They are tracking in the right direction.
Yeah, they are, mate. You mentioned one player a few weeks back, and that's Cam McGuinness. There's no coincidence for me that, you know, he come back from injury and they started to get on a bit of a roll. I think he's only lost 2 or 3 games this year. So he's been a huge addition for them to come back. I think the big thing with the Sharks is going to be their draw. The Rabbitohs this weekend is the only top 8 team they play going in. And with respect to the Rabbitohs, they're a bit busted and bruised themselves at the moment with a few injuries. They've got St. George, the Raiders, who are on a roll, then the Titans, the Eels, and then the Storm to finish. So the draw that the Sharks have got is absolutely blessed running in. They have to go up to the Gold Coast, but outside of that, it's all Sydney, and you know they can't have asked for a better draw than what they've got. Truth be told, so if the Roosters and the Warriors don't continue to win, then the Sharks are going to rack up the points to have the for and against to slide into second, which could then tip it all on its head again. So they're another team, mate, that all four of these teams, as I said, are an absolute lock for the four, and they're all going to be prime ready to go. If I've got to pick one, I'm still going with Penrith as the favourites, but I could genuinely see any one of these four being there on grand final day and lifting the trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the draw that you mentioned, it's... they all look like winnable games, but I think the good thing is that all of those teams have shown a bit of form. So it's not like they're going to be playing against teams that are going horribly and blow them. Well, they still may blow some of these teams off the park, but they're all teams that have actually found a bit. And if you look at the Dragons, the Titans and the Eels, who are propping up the bottom of the ladder, all three of those teams have been defending better, have been more competitive, have been in a lot of games that they just weren't at the start of the year. So it still allows them to have some decent, tough footy. And, of course, the Storm last round, a traditional rivalry for the Sharks over the last 10 or so years. So, they'll still have had to work hard if they can get themselves anywhere above that that top four, or anywhere above fourth. But also, like you said, it's going to be those four. The Dolphins are only 2 points behind. They may get undone on for and against, but these four teams are going to have to keep winning, or the Dolphins will be breathing down their neck too.
Yeah, good shout, mate. Obviously, we'll talk to it later in the episode, but Katoa is back on the extended bench, and he's so important to them. We saw over the last couple of weeks, the difference of having him out on the back of the Origin. This bye that they've had would have certainly freshened them up. And to your point, mate, their run home is very friendly. They got the Dragons, the Broncos, Manly, Para, Roosters and Titans. So you're 100% right, mate. Well, I still think those four will be in. I think they've been the best four sides. You can't sleep on the Dolphins, because if they go back to what they were like pre-Origin, they're going to be hard to beat too, mate.
Yeah, and if they finish fifth, the team that scrapes into eighth would not want to be playing them. And then if you lose your first semi-final from the top four, then you've got to go play the Dolphins. It's going to make a tough run. Okay, Dally M Watch. Mm. Now, Cleary has won the Dally M Halfback of the Year. He's always seemed to have got injured, or there was one year he had a suspension which ruled him ineligible. But surely this is the year for him to knock it over, mate. Can you see it going any other way?
Oh, look, there's a couple of other Smokies. I think the biggest thing with Cleary is competing with Edwards to get those points. Obviously, Edwards missed last week and he's out again this week. But when it went behind closed doors, Edwards, had shared a lot of points. They were almost neck and neck with 38 to Cleary and 32 to Edwards. So I think that's probably Cleary's biggest obstacle. I think Penrith will... they've freshened up. They've gotten through Origin. I think they're about to hit go. This will be a big three-week period. And if they're going to win these 3 weeks, Cleary's going to be the guy with the steering wheel, and he's going to be the guy who scores the points from the Dally M. So I certainly think that it's not his to lose, but I certainly think he should be red-hot favourite. The other ones, Jackson Ford was coming second when it went behind closed doors. Unfortunately, his season's ended with that injury, which was really... you know, it's been hard on the Warriors as well. So unfortunately, he's out. Drinkwater was in fourth. That's an interesting one with Drinkwater, because the Cowboys have gone 3-1 in the last month and have strung some pretty good performances. Excuse me, some pretty good performances together, and he has been electric with the football. Once he got through that signing contract with the Dragons, got that out of the way, you've seen him really put his foot down again. So he won't be far away. And then Tedesco was fifth when it went behind closed doors. You know, he was 11 points behind. And I think just with him missing those games over Origin, then he had a couple of concussion games, I think it might be a little bit too far for him to go. So I certainly think Cleary's the one. But for me, it's the two Shark boys around whether one of them whether it be Trindle or Hines, on the run that they've just been through, the four wins, and then the draw that they've got coming up. We're expecting the Sharks to put up some points and for them two to be centre of attention. It'll be whether one of them two can run Cleary down in the back straight, mate.
Yeah, interesting. I would have thought that Tedesco and Drinkwater would be the biggest threat. I know Teddy did miss some football, but there were weeks there where he was just stringing performance after performance together, and I'm not sure that was the case for Cleary. Mm. And as you said, Drinkwater's had some big games despite that little lull in and around contract. Before we move on from, you mentioned the Dragons, they've signed another good signing. Cody Nikorima confirmed. The Dragons fans are suddenly getting a bit lippy, and one guy posted on one of ours that they'll be top six, and I noticed you were pretty quick to agree with him.
Yeah.
Are we getting ahead of ourselves, mate?
No, definitely not, mate.
Go on.
You want me just to lock that down now and just say no, definitely not? Look, I think the big thing with the Dragons is that they've gone and signed players that we needed. You know, they've gone and signed the backs. They've gone and signed players that really had a, could fill a hole for us that we were missing. So I know the Dragons fans, no matter who we're talking to, they're all excited about it. And I think the big thing with them, for me at least, mate, has been that we've had a plan. You know, the Dragons traditionally haven't really had a plan, and we've just sort of bumbled our way through since the merge, and especially around the juniors and the direction we're taking with signings. St. George have never, in my time at least, gone out to the market and signed quality marquee players like this. So it's very exciting for that instance, mate, just to get a little bit of a plan going in a direction and think, hang on a minute, these guys actually know what they're doing.
Absolutely. And I think the key thing that they've bought is experience. We've talked all year about the young forward pack, but they've bought some quality guys who fill the exact roles that they need, like you said. My only concern is Metcalf's fitness. Cody Nikorima is going to be 33 next year. And the centres. If Val had such a poor year at the start of this year, how old's he now? He must be 30.
Well, he's old.
And then Moses Suli or Gutho in the other position, unless they've got a young bloke up their sleeve, they might just be a few positions and a little bit of depth short of being realistically in for that top eight.
Yeah, I think, we had Dragons fan Lyle on a couple of weeks ago, and he brought up Atkinson in the centres. I think that seems to be growing legs at the moment, especially with Nikorima now. You'd think he's got a partner, Metcalf, in the halves. Mm-hmm. So he's a big body who's good, he's a good ball runner. So he is certainly an option, but I couldn't agree with you more. I think Val and Gutho can't play in the centres, and I'm worried that they're going to stick at least one of them there. There was talk a couple of weeks ago Val was going to sit on one of the wings. I can see that being an option, making sure that only focus on just carrying the ball hard out of your own half, finishing tries when you need to, and just keep it very, very simple for him. So I can see that working, but I do get concerned, mate. Gutherson in the main line, having to defend and make those decisions that he's not used to. You know, his body's been beaten up a little bit over the years, so I would love one strike centre, a Bradman Best type centre, but... I didn't think we were going to get what we got over the last couple of months. So maybe I'm being a little bit adventurous asking for a strike centre. But there's no doubt. We do have that Australian schoolboy coming through. But he's going to be obviously a couple of years away for his body to develop and get ready for first grade footy. But certainly good signs. The big thing for me is that the ones they've played create tries. That young forward pack are certainly matching it with some of the best in the comp. We just can't create points. But with Drinkwater, Metcalf, Cody Nikorima, that's their whole bread and butter. They're very creative players, score points themselves, but create for others. So it's exciting, mate.
Oh, absolutely. I like the shout of Val to the wing. I can see Gutho slipping into a 14 role. It's Jacob Little, is it?
Yep.
And the hooking role, he could easily play... 80 minutes. And what you mentioned there is spot on. That's the thing that I see more than anything else is speed and unpredictability with Drinkwater, Metcalf, and maybe not speed so much with Metcalf, but Cody Nikorima certainly got that acceleration. So suddenly they're going to have a creative flair and spark that they just haven't been able to produce this year. You throw in the education that's going to give to Reed coming through and to the rest of them. It's certainly looking very bright for the future. But hopefully you guys have taken all the low-hanging fruit off the tree, and there's another couple of big names that we can empty the wallet on for to try and rescue our recruitment.
The poor old eels.
Just empty everything you've got on Herbie, please.
Oh, that'd be nice. He's going to go for a couple of dollars, old Herbie. Don't remember that.
Mate, name your ticket.
He won't be going cheap.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, mate,
we talked about him at the start of the year. He's just the player that you want in your team. Put him anywhere. Okay, so we got some big names back. I don't know if I said this before, but it would be fitting if Cleary won the Dally M, given this was the year that he sort of broke that Origin hoodoo. He's done everything else. This is the one that's missing from the trophy cabinet. And then, you know, who knows, maybe a golden boot at the end of the year if he has a good World Cup. That'd be a pretty handy year.
Yeah, it would be, mate. As I said, I think he, you know, as we call it now after 21 rounds, I think he deserves it. I think he's out in front and he deserves to be favourite. I just hope he gets through the season clean, mate, and gives himself every opportunity to be able to put it around his neck, because it would be a shame for him to have the career he's had and not win a Dally M. I certainly think he's been a bit unlucky not to have already put one or two in his sock drawer. So it'll be interesting to see how it finishes for him. But yeah, he's still my red hot favourite for it at this stage.
Yeah, I agree. Now, you've posed this interesting question: which return changes the finals race most? You've got Kalyn Ponga back for Newcastle, AJ Brimson for Titans. Obviously, you're talking about the teams that they've still got to play against. Talangi dropped for Cogger, Katoa. Was it Jack Cogger that played in the Panthers grand final when Luai went off injured?
Yeah, it was either Cogger or Snyder. I think it might have been Cogger by memory.
Yeah, I might get
that wrong.
Yeah, he produced an incredible second half that really ignited them and got Cleary out wide, and the rest is history. The Broncos won. And that hopefully will remove what's been their biggest problem in recent weeks, is that Panthers left edge where Talangi's just been cut to ribbons.
Yep.
This, I know the obvious is Katoa, but to me, this is the one that actually could have the biggest ripple effect for the Panthers.
Mate, you've read my notes, mate. I couldn't agree with you more. On the surface, I think, you know, if you go back to Ponga, I think Kalyn Ponga's biggest problem is going to be Brown and Lucas are gone. You know, he really used Lucas on that left-hand edge as his decoy at times, and then as his straight man for that inside ball. So he's going to really hurt. He's going to be a huge addition for Newcastle, and you know, at this stage of his career, he should be trying to put him on his back and get them into the semi-finals. They've still got a very strong team, especially that back line, even without Brown. But I think it's just going to be a little bit too hard for him to get them all the way into October. And Katoa is going to be the same. I think you're going to see an instant change if he does in fact get on this week, because he's been named on the extended bench. And you know, playing St George with respect to the Dragons, I don't know whether they'll want to, you know, rush him in. He's in jersey 22. So if you do see Katoa play, that means he's fully fit and ready to go. But I think you'll see instant change in the Dolphins. I think the bile will freshen them up, and Katoa coming back will be a huge addition. But for me, it's all about Talangi and Cogger. You know, if there's every other team sitting in the top eight, especially those top four teams we discussed, they're trying to break the Panthers down, and everyone knew what was going on, right? Poor old Blaise Talangi, just at that stage, he just needed to have the break for his confidence. I think he really would have been feeling the pinch. You know, having him and Casey McLean, while they're both absolute gun youngsters, They're both pretty inexperienced still. And you're going to get your ups and downs, especially defending, you know, in such an important corridor on the field, taking those back rowers on. So I think for me, this is going to be the biggest one. So they're going to still send plenty of traffic towards Cogger. There's no doubt about that. But I think this is going to give Penrith just that little bit better defence. And then the other team's going to have to start to come up with something else to try to get that, you know, break down that defensive line.
Yeah, spot on. It's eerie how similar we think. Maybe we need to start picking a few more fights with each other, mate. Yeah, it was. I looked it up. It was Jack Cogger in the 2023 grand final came on and had a unbelievable 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the uncertainty around Katoa actually playing and the fact that they're still not back to that form that has them being genuine premiership contenders, I think, yeah, it's a no-brainer for me. And maybe that's something the Panthers need to spark things. I still think Talangi has a place in their finals run, but maybe it's in a bit of a different role. There'll be plenty to play out between now and then, that's for sure. I don't know if we mentioned this with the underrated players, but Paul Alamotti, I remember when he was at the Dogs and just like how exciting he was. And I was just thinking, oh, they're getting rid of him. Like, Parry should have a crack. And I remember Ivan Cleary saying that. He said he couldn't believe his luck when he'd come on the market. So they want to make sure he stays fit. And one of those backs does get injured. Well, they've got Tungo playing a bit of everything who can come in. And then you've got Talangi, who at a pinch should play a job anywhere between one and six, really. So, yeah. That still adds an element of depth for them. I'm with you. I don't think KP's impact is going to be able to carry them over the line, given some of the big names. Now, in saying that, there was a time earlier on in the year where Brown had an ankle injury and allowed Fletcher Sharp to be unlocked even more. And with KP pretty much in attack playing a fair bit of seven, first receiver, Who knows? Like, he could definitely set him alight for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think the Knights, and, you know, we've obviously still got a lot of footy to go, but I think the Knights at the end of this season will look back and look at a couple of things about what if. You know, those last three games have been, I think, a collective 5 points. They've lost three games combined. So, you know, that puts them into second spot, equal with the Roosters, if they get those wins. And they've been without some key players during those games with origins and injuries. So I think when the Knights sit back and look over, you know, first year with a new coach, first year with Brown, you know, a lot of injuries, even short-term ones, I think they'll look back with a lot of confidence and know that they're on the right path and think to themselves, shit, if we had have had a little bit more luck here or there, we could have really been doing some damage at the back end of the year. So I think all in all, they're obviously not going to be giving anything away now. They're going to be fighting and scrapping for everything they can get, and their draw's not too bad. So they'll be doing everything they can. And Ponga is without a doubt one of the best players in the NRL. So I still think they've got semi-final football in them. But yeah, I just think they're going to be a little bit too hard. When they come up against those top four teams in September, if they get that far, I just can't see them pulling it off, mate.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You mentioned when they look back in this season, I think they'll also look back on this season excited on what they were able to produce, given people didn't really, I imagine, outside of the diehard Knights fans and the actual people within the club themselves, I don't think anyone really expected what we've seen from them. So they should be pretty proud of what they've produced, regardless of how it unfolds from here. Yep. Now, we nailed the game of the week last week. We called, if we can see the Knights and Roosters close to their best, we'll get an absolute belter, and that's exactly as it proved to be. So we're going for a new one this week, and we're going to go for the Miracle of Mudgee 2.0 with the Panthers versus Raiders as our pick for the game of the week. What do you like about the matchups in this one, mate?
Oh, mate, this has just got me really excited, mate. As I said, I genuinely think the Raiders are one of the form teams in the competition over the last month. I think they've come out of Origin really well. And I think a couple of the players, obviously Hudson Young's a massive out for them. So Mariota will start on the edge for Young. So that's a massive out. But I think this Ethan Strange has now been around Origin. He's now been on a kangaroo tour. This is when the rubber hits the road for him to be able to start to stamp himself. Now, they've left their run very late for the semi-finals. So I guess we're still going to say they're an outside chance with the draw they've got, but they can't afford to drop any games, especially this opportunity. So I think this is going to be an absolute belter, some hard-nosed forwards in both teams. You know, you talk about Moses Leota and Lindsay Smith, you know, Tapine, Horsburgh, Big Puppy, you know, Smithies, Yo, Martin, the list goes on, right? So they're going to just belt tripe out of each other for 80 minutes up front, and then the backs are going to do their thing. So if they can have even ball, I think the forwards probably match each other. You know, Yo's a huge out, but I think the forwards probably match each other. And then it comes down to these young Raiders backs. Can they produce the magic up against Cleary and what he can do? Obviously, Edwards out is a massive thing for the Panthers. So this is just going to be an absolute belter. You know, KO Weeks scored after the bell last year to give the Raiders a win in was one of the greatest games of the whole season. So I can't wait for 5:30 on Saturday. It'll be a cracker.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned Ethan Strange, a guy who's really stepped up in the last month since they've gone on this 4-0 run is Ethan Sanders, and we're starting to see why now people had such big raps on him. His control and the ability just to get the tempo right for this young back line and for a forward pack that really knows how to mix it with the best when they are at their best. Yeah, he's really stepped up. They, I just noticed they've got Morgan Smithies at playing at lock this week. Mm-hmm. Now, I heard a whisper that he might be off to the Bears as well. I don't know if that's true, but just before we move on to the next point, the Bears they're still battling again compared to what you've seen from PNG so far, but they're starting to get towards a lineup that might be competitive. This is their best lineup so far. You've got Mason Barber. I don't know too much about him. Maybe he's Ben's brother. Sean Russell, Shibasaki, Harry Newman, Nick Meaney. That's not a bad 2-5. Wishout and Sexton's probably not your best 6 and 7 of the comp, but they'll do a job. Liam Henry, they've just signed Tyson Smoothie, so that's good. They've got this guy from Leeds, Oledski. Don't know much about him. Scott Sorensen, Talakai, Curran, and then some young fellas, including Jack Cole signed recently, Maverick Geyer. It's starting to come together. Like, considering where they were not so long ago, they're building, and we mentioned a few weeks back that apparently they've bought an absolute gun young half as well. So they might go a bit better than we thought. And still with a fair few spots in the top 30 to pick.
Yeah, mate, they're coming together. As we said, it was always going to be a challenge for them. I think, you know, they've been patient. They haven't gone and overspent. They've obviously spent a couple of dollars on those two Melbourne boys that will give them an opportunity to start to be centre of attention. But within reason, they haven't gone and given someone, you know, 1.5, 1.6 just to get a signing. So, pardon me, if they can get a little bit more experience in the forward pack. Obviously, Liam Henry, has got some games under his belt. Sorensen's been around, but I'd like to see them have, you know, that Bromwich brother situation for the Dolphins, Felice Kafusi for the Dolphins. If they could get one or two of them, but, mate, that's easier said than done, right?
Junior Paulo, the rumour is that he probably will end up there on a two-year deal. If Morgan Smithies goes there too, then you've got two real hard
spot on
those guys that suddenly, you've got those guys that they haven't had. And if somewhere along the line they can land a couple of exciting outside backs, again, they're not going to be challenging for top eight, but at least you think that they're going to be a possibility to win games, because I think a little while ago we were thinking they might really struggle to do even that.
Yeah, spot on. Those two lads would be huge for their pack, mate. It would really set a tone for the dressing room and set a culture in the joint that could be long lasting. So hopefully for them, they can continue to add a couple. Back to the game of the round, mate. I'm going to go for an upset, and I'm going to get the Raiders in a very tight one to get over the top of Penrith. But yeah, unfortunately, tell your missus you can't take her out Saturday night because you do not want to miss this game.
Oh, I love it. She'll do what she's told.
I don't think so.
She'll probably just leave me at home. That's fine. Now, the other one, we did pretty good job of the game that was going to have the biggest finals impact, Broncos-Cowboys. It put the Broncos finals to bed, and it showed that the Cowboys are still alive and kicking, and when they play their best football, they can match it with anyone. So,
yep.
This week's pick, what do we like?
Mate, the number 4 Sharks play the number 6 Rabbitohs. So I think this one obviously is going to have an impact on both the top 4 and the top 8. You know, the Rabbitohs are sitting on 6, but they've only had 10 wins because of the bye. So as far as wins go, they're actually in 8th slot. So this is a big, important game for them. They've been winning games when, you know, they've been missing stars. Obviously, Luttrell could be out for the season, we're led to believe. So that's going to be a big one for them. So any of these games that tick along here, it's really important for them. So, you know, they still won't have Fifita. He's on his second week of a suspension. So I think at home, I think the Sharks are going to be far too good for them. I'm expecting the Carnival to continue to roll on for the Sharks, but this is going to have huge implications because if a few of those bottom teams, you know, we talk about Canberra, the Bulldogs, the Cowboys, the Knights, if a few of them can get a win, it's going to make the Rabbitohs just that little bit nervous, and then they're going to be looking over their shoulder. So this is a big one, but I think the Sharks are just going to have far too many points in the made-up against South Sydney's defence.
I do too, and I expect them to win well, which will put their for and against right up there with the Warriors, and yep. It could be almost the death knell of the Rabbitohs season. The Sharkies are just on fire, and the Bunnies, even when they've been winning, they've been battling away, probably punching above their weight given how many they've had out injured, but I just think this might be the end of a bit of a bridge too far for them.
Yeah, agree, mate. It'll be very interesting to look at the ladder on Monday morning on the back of that game.
Yeah, now, upset of the week. Now, I looked across the draw for this weekend and thought you could mount a case for pretty much every game for the potential upset. But what have we gone for, Steve?
Man, I've obviously mentioned the Raiders earlier in the game of the round, but for me, I think the Roosters are going to be very, very hard to beat. But right now, the Cowboys' form is very impressive. So, you know, the way they took the Broncos at home last week was really impressive. So Townsville will absolutely be heaving at the off. They'll be hanging off the rafters. It'll be a full house. And right now, that forward pack thinks that they can dominate anyone, and they're going to come up against a very stiff forward pack in the Roosters. They're one of the best in the competition. So, look, I've got the Roosters just winning. But an upset in this game will not surprise me whatsoever. I think the young forwards for the Cowboys and a couple of hard heads with Taumalolo are really primed, and they're up for this. So, and they know if they can win this, it almost guarantees them. They go up to 12 wins with a bye up their sleeve. It almost guarantees them a top 8. So they'll be coming off the back fence for this one, mate. Don't miss it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Todd Payton knows that they're about to hit a real run of form because he called out the Broncos the other week. He made that call, said, yeah, everyone hates the Broncos. And he had his team up because he knew it was going to be physical. And not only did they match him, but they outplayed him at big chunks of that game. So, yeah, I tend to agree. My only concern is, like I said, that the Roosters are just one moment away from unlocking that back line and actually tearing a team apart. The Cowboys, they come hard, but they also give you plenty of chances as well. So, should be a good one, as you said. Mate, it's going to be a busy week of watching footy this weekend. There's some good ones. Hopefully they actually live up to the expectation. Lock of the week. Like I said, you could mount a case for just about every game. The elimination comp that we play in, we've got to pick one team to win. I found it tough to find one, and given my record hasn't been fantastic, I'm not looking forward to actually nailing one down. But you couldn't go too wrong by picking the Warriors, given that they at home are pretty damn hard to beat.
Yeah, mate, look, a month ago, this would not even have been a conversation. It was just an absolute lock. But to the Titans' credit, you know, they've won 6 games. They're 2-2. over the last month of footy, and they're playing some decent. Quality at the moment. You know, that forward pack continues to grow legs. The young fellas continue to get better. But for me, I think the Titans, now's the turning point, right? They've gotten through Origin. Now they're set sail for the run home. It should be a fine day on the Gold Coast. So it should be a really quick, fast game. And I think those outside backs for the Warriors, on the back of what the forward pack can do, I just really like the Warriors just to start to say, okay, we're back. We're down to third spot now. We're not going to be here for long, and really stamp their authority on the game.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the time that you got to stand up and show your class, and you would expect that will be the case. The Titans have been on a good run, but at some point that young team's got to have a letdown, and if you're going to have it any week, it's more than likely going to be against a big, physical, fast team. Lock of the week, yes, but I still think that the Titans will stick with them for a fair chunk of this game and will be well worth the watch. Now, before we leave today, I don't know if you checked out Adam Dewey and Benji Marshall. Did Benji Marshall finally talking to the media? Two things. Like, I've done a fair bit of work on body language and reading people, and it seemed really genuine and heartfelt from Dewey that, like, he's taken full responsibility and it falls on him. And we talked about it on Monday, that more to it than maybe meets the eye. But what he did was he got in the front foot and dismissed a lot of the things that, you know, the not conspiracy theories, but the suggestions there might have been more at play, and basically said, no, you can put that to bed. This is just me being stubborn and not communicating well because I wasn't in a good space. So, yeah, credit to them there. But the guy I wanted to really call out, and someone had a crack at me about calling Benji a leader, he does things differently, and people don't like going outside the lines of what they're used to. But he's coming from a more holistic approach. He said he wasn't going to tell the whole world what was going on in his life, but seeing it's come to this, he said, well, actually, I didn't go to the judiciary with him because two things. One, we have a protocol where the head of football, Pat Richards, goes. And two, both my kids were in hospital last week, so I was taking care of that. And he also just, like, says, you know, this is how it is. But he doesn't play the media game to the extent that he just, like, this is what we're doing. He doesn't get caught up in the noise of what everyone else is saying. He's been kind of forced into a corner to almost defend himself because of all the crap that was going on, and probably for his fans, the fans of the Tigers. But I really like the fact that he does it his own way. And he even referenced that when he spoke. He said, like, all players are different, and you've got to treat them that way, and you've got to understand that there's going to be different ways that different people handle things. And yeah, I just like the way he goes about it, and it won't be everyone's cup of tea because they like their footy how they like their footy and the same way it's always been, but I think he's a breath of fresh air myself.
Yeah, mate, 100%. I couldn't agree with you more. I think he's, you know, the new style of coach and of leader, right? The younger generation are different to what we were and what it was before us, so there's no doubt that he's a different leader. The two things I like about Benji is he really segregates when he's doing it. It's on his timeline. You know, so they asked him at the game, pre-game, and he showed up. A lot of coaches would have been hiding in the dressing room. He showed up and he did the interview. And he said, not here to talk about that. We'll deal with that later. We're here to focus on the game. And then Monday morning, he dealt with it. You never have to go searching for him. He's always right there, and he always tells them, no, we're dealing with this now. We'll deal with that when that is the appropriate time. And then the other one for me, mate, is what you said around the honesty piece. Like, telling us about his kids is obviously the extreme length, but you see some clubs, they don't tell the fans anything, right? They keep everything. Like, we still don't know, you know, we talked about Mitch Kenny's injury. We still don't know when he's going to be back, as an example, all the way up to players who are dealing with different things. You know, so here we are, you know, there's been plenty of players over, you know, our season that we've had a dip at for their you know, performances. But there's a lot of stuff going on in the background that, you know, we don't really know about. So for him to come out and, you know, share a few things with the fans, Yeah, you got to be at least a Tigers fan from that aspect. You've got to be pretty happy that you've got a coach that can be open and honest, and he's not hiding away from the media and not hiding what's going on at the club.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you said there about on his timeline. He has been very big on that. And so maybe he's just let things play out. You know, all the media demand, he gets on the front foot and addresses it. Yep. Well, maybe he is addressing it. He just doesn't want to tell all you lot. And he's going to say it in his time. Once it's all played out, and then he doesn't have to go in and there and talk in riddles and deny things that are true and all that sorts of stuff. He waits till it's all done and then deals with it in-house, as you should, good organisations do, and then he just says it how it is. Again, not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but yeah, good on him. And really, the unravelling process has been two things. The change of the speed of the game. The young Tigers loved the quick game and they dominated. And also the Luai signing. Well, he can't control that. Like, he didn't put the deal in place that gave him an opportunity to go seek other opportunities. He didn't force him to go sign for PNG. And the rest of it, I mean, it's funny. Only on Monday, I said, where do they go from here? Well, it's amazing what 3 days can do. Yeah. And they said to him in the press conference, like, do you think this will put off any players who might want to sign with the Tigers? And he said, it might do. He said, but what I know is that I'm always going to stick to my integrity. And if young players want to come here and I'll tell them the truth and I'll be up front with them. And I understand this, like you said, I understand the young players and I'll tell them what I think and hopefully some will still want to come. So, I think it is a good example of just how the media can overblow things and they hear whispers here and there and then they... And Benji didn't say none of it was true. He said there were some things in there that just weren't true. And that's probably, you know, they take one part of this story, then they create all of this meaning off it. It's a bit of a joke. There was some in the other day that they were said, the headline was about, it was one of those 360 stories. You could tell it was written off a subject from NRL 360. Mm. And it was talking about a player leaving and a club signing some player, but that's not what had happened at all. It was just one of the journos suggesting here could be an option if this happens, then maybe they go after this player, but then they write as if it's a done deal. It's crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, I think what he's doing well is he's just seeing through their crap and he's just running his own race, and I think more people, particularly listeners, should try it out. It works.
Yeah, good shout, buddy. Well done.
Thanks, mate. And as always, we're going to try and do things a bit differently to what you're seeing everywhere else. So if you're liking it and you think others will like it as well, pass it on to others. And just a bit of a tease, we'll be looking at the cricket as well once we wrap up the NRL. Even though there's heaps of action left for the rest of this NRL season, we'll find something to do between seasons. But then we'll ramp it up with a bit of cricket once we hit the summer as well. So plenty to go for Sporty's Life.
Cheers, Hope.